Hey, our next guest is Joshy Jenkins, JJ. He's brought to us by Balfour's Bakery, available at your local deli or supermarket. Balfour's, baking people happy since 1853. JJ, thanks for your time.
No worries, gents. Thanks for having me.
You drew the short straw, the first player that we had to speak to after that loss, mate.
Yeah, well, sometimes you got to just front up, don't you?
Oh, you're a tough man. Hey, look, we didn't see that effort coming. Your coach sat next to Bix in here yesterday. He didn't see that effort coming. As a player, looking back, were there any signs, any triggers?
No, not really. I think you always take the field pretty confident and pretty optimistic that you can put in a good performance. But, I guess the entirety of that match, we didn't fire a shot at all. And, apart from maybe the last quarter where we won some of the key indicators, we pretty much didn't fire a shot. So, pretty disappointing and, something that we'll certainly have to rectify because a few of those performances, can ruin a season.
We spoke to Phil Walsh last night, as Rowie mentioned. He was pretty calm. Just wondering, was he as calm during the review?
Yeah, he was. He's a pretty, a guy that's so intense and possibly intimidating, he's very level-headed and, gets his message across in a fairly calm manner. So I think a lot of guys respond well to that. You probably head in expecting the worst, but he's pretty level-headed and understands that, for certain reasons, things don't go your way and things don't always go the way you hope. So he was probably disappointed with a few aspects of what went on, and he certainly made that evident to the group. But he wasn't, he didn't spend an hour, screaming the walls down and getting into guys' faces or anything like that. But sometimes when you perform as poorly as we all did, you sort of don't need to be told. You just know yourself.
And now, look, I'd understand you would have been disappointed with your form. It wasn't your best game. What about the feedback from Phil Walsh and David Teague on your own personal form the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I guess the guys, the coaches take a very positive outlook on things despite, how well or how poorly you may play. So, I'm old enough and smart enough to understand how I'm going myself. So I'll probably try and put steps in place to rectify that. As far as, chats and things go with Teague, probably more so with Teague, he's pretty positive and pretty upbeat and pretty confident that, some good footy's not too far away. And on the weekend, like you said, I wasn't, was probably one of the guys that didn't perform well, but I certainly thought early in the game I was involved, but probably didn't carry it on.
You sort of like mirror the team for me, JJ. Your best is frightening. I love your highlights rule, but then your worst, it's like this text here, Josh Jenkins, a box of chocolates footballer. That Forrest Gump thing? If you could close that gap, or the Crows could close the gap of their best to their worst, the consistency, we'd be frighteningly good, as you would be frighteningly good, JJ.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, and that's a pretty frustrating thing to hear, but two, to actually put out there, from week to week, I feel like training doesn't change and my weeks don't change much, but performances do a fair bit. So that's it's a frustrating thing, and probably no one's more annoyed at the outcome than myself. So it's got an ongoing challenge to try and lessen that gap, and I think I've from the start of my career I've done so a little bit, but I understand that my role, in the forward line and in the ruck, important to the team. So if I'm not performing to a higher level, then it hurts the team.
You're so important a source. You will be this week. He spoke to the media yesterday and he said he needs you, mate. JJ, he needs you. Big game this week and a big challenge for the pair of you.
Yeah, it is. It'll be a great battle between, us four. I'm feeling, one area that, and it probably hasn't shown, and it's probably, it hasn't been overly evident, but I feel like I've improved a lot, especially in the centre bounce this season. I obviously don't get to take too many because Source takes the majority of the ruck work, but that's one thing I've been able to identify with Scott Campriale and Doc Clark that I've improved a little bit. So look forward to putting that into practice this week. I've actually, my 12 months at Essendon, obviously spent a lot of time working with and against Paddy Ryder at training, so it'll be good test when I'm in there helping Source out.
What about the aggression factor? We look at you and you're a big brute of a man. You going to bowl a few over this week?
Well, I guess that's what everyone, you know, everyone looks for from me. So it's not something that comes natural to me, but something I need to sort of force out of myself, and probably haven't done so as yet. But you know, it's something I need to bring to my game. I know that if I can do that, you know, crush a couple of packs, and you know, that brings the small guys into the game and sort of gives a lift to the rest of the team. So whilst it's, you know, I'm not outwardly, I don't play that way, it's something that, you know, I desperately need to bring into my game.
You know what you need? You need a letty to just give you a little bit of a squirrel grip squeeze, or someone to punch in the ribs on the way out, or someone come off the top turnbuckle. Josh, someone's got to get you angry.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, maybe not even angry, just, you know, I just probably got to have a conscious effort to do that. You know, there's so many things that you're thinking about going into a game, and you know, if it's not that front of mind, it can sort of slip to the wayside, and I sort of have to, you know, like I said, it's not a natural thing for me to go and to be like that, so I need to you know, have that at the front of my mind to you know, look to have some contact and knock a few guys around.
What's the response been from Taylor Walker and the leadership group on the back of the weekend's performance? Have they got the players together at all or anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, we don't want to be as poor as the game was. We don't want to be jumping in shadows. We've had a, you know, pretty good first month of the season and a really good you know, summer campaign. So we don't want to be having crisis meetings or anything of that sort of magnitude. We just understand that what we put out there on the weekend wasn't good enough. You know, identify why that happened, which is probably the hardest thing, and then try to ensure that doesn't happen 2 weeks in a row. Be, you know, very confident. If ever you're going to start a game well, it's probably going to be this week. You know, after two poor starts, and you know, with the showdown looming, and understanding and seeing how well Paul performed in the first quarter of the last couple of weeks, that you know, if anything, we bring anything below our best, and they'll blow us away early.
And look, I guess one thing that you do look forward to after having such a horrible loss, you look forward to the next chance you get to respond, and that is the next game you play. So I'm guessing there's a lot of anxiousness to actually bring the game forward. Let's get out there and show that what we saw last week isn't a true indication of what we represent as a team. Is that right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, you know, we've speaking of the short straw, sort of, you know, it's a little bit. We got that last game on the Sunday again this week, so it's going to be a bit of a slow week, but probably give us an opportunity to really train, you know, at a high level on Thursday, and get some things in order that we want to do and want to take into Sunday's game, and then obviously going to sit around and watch a few games of footy and stew on out last week a little bit more, but. You know, once Sunday afternoon comes around, we'll be ready to roll.
Confident of Cole Cheney being available this week? Phil was pretty optimistic last night when we spoke to him.
Yeah, I think so. We did a little bit of a... The AFL and SANFL groups were a little bit separate today because of differing programs, but you know, Cole looked pretty good in the brief moments I saw him out on the track, and was taking part in everything from what I could see. So, you know, if he's available, that'd be great, because he sort of the calm head down there, and you know, we saw in the first couple of weeks his importance to the team and the way that the team defends.
What about the big Texan Ranger, the big Tex Walker? How's he?
Oh, he's good. He's obviously one of probably 17 or 18 that would be pretty flat with their own performance from the weekend. So, you know, he'd probably take 24 hours to get over that, and then you know, we just get on with it. He probably might take it a bit harder than most. You know, feels he's got that responsibility as captain, but he's the same as anyone else. We've just got to get on with it, review the game individually, then just get on with it. And he's someone that finds it easy to get upbeat and have a laugh, easier than most. So he'll be ready to rock and roll, hopefully.
One bloke who's been causing or making the news for good reasons is Jake Lever. His form has been good in the SANFL. Have you had to go body to body with him during training at all?
I have. I did some stuff when we were sort of ramping up the match simulation late in PC, and I played on him a fair bit, and he's a very tough guy to beat. He's extremely athletic, and he's got these real long arms that, you know, he can find a way to stay in the contest. He's an angry guy as well. He loves to get involved in in the physical stuff, and he's going to be a, whether it's, you know, in the next couple of weeks, whenever he makes his debut, he's going to be a player, I'm sure, for the Crows for a long time. Really loved the look of Jake.
Oh, that was going to be my next question. How far away is he? Is he, you know, is he capable of playing now, is he?
Oh, in my opinion, yeah, he'd be capable of playing this week. He's probably, ideally, you know, coming off a knee reconstruction, they took their time with it. Ideally, he'd love him to get, you know, 4 to 6 weeks of footy under his belt, but, you know, he's picked early in the draft for a reason. He's a quality kid and a quality player. So if it was up to me, you know, I'd be happy to get him in, you know, ASAP. So it'd be interesting to see. But obviously Kyle Chaney's looking to make his way back, and Jake Kelly has been pretty good too in his first two matches. So it'll be interesting to see which way they go.
JJ, the attitude, we spoke to Phil Walsh about the playing group's attitude. He didn't see any change in it. From a player's perspective, the group didn't get ahead of themselves, did they? There's no hint of that in there?
No, I don't think so. It's hard to... hindsight's, you know, it's 2020, but, you know, as I said, our weeks don't differ too much, and, you know, I think the guys put in pretty good performance throughout the week. We are, and speaking for the forwards, we were ready and well prepared to play the Dogs, and you know, we were confident of putting in a good performance. So hopefully, you know, everyone's entitled to, maybe not entitled, but everyone has a stinker, you know, once or twice a year. So hopefully, yeah, That's ours out of the way. Unfortunately, nearly everyone except for maybe Tomo had it on the same day. So hopefully it's out of the way now.
Well, Gary Lyon reckons we're drinking our bathwater. I said after the game we played like buffheads. Your coach didn't exactly hit it on the head. So you can say from a player's perspective, the attitude is spot on, elite standards, you're all on the red line.
Yeah, we're ready to roll. We did everything that we normally do. We did the same things as round 1, 2 and 3 that got us the point. So, nothing changed from that perspective, obviously. Just the performance wasn't there for whatever reason. So hopefully, and you know, I'd be pretty confident that won't be the case this week.
Hey, Josh, what are you doing outside of footy now? I know you've written some articles in the paper. Are you studying? What's the latest?
I'm doing both, yeah. Because I obviously like writing, and cops and mum, when you're not playing too well, you cop a bit of flack for having your columns in the paper. But it's, you know, I genuinely love it, and something I want to pursue after footy. Writing something I want to do once I finish football, so I'll stick at it, you know, knocking over some study as well, so I can have all bases covered, and hopefully move across into a career in writing once footy's finished.
So what are you studying, Josh?
Just journalism, professional writing.
Wow. So was English a strong suit at school?
What's that, sorry?
Was English a strong suit at school?
Yeah, it was probably one of the few subjects I really enjoyed and was able to stay on task with. So it's something I've always enjoyed, sport especially. So, it's something that takes my mind away from foot. And I'm actually about to get on the computer now. I can just sit there and type away and enjoy it.
How did you go in English, Roey?
Oh, that was my worst subject. I was more a mathematician. Oh, please.
Zero.
Yeah, exactly.
Zero.
So you read a lot of books, JJ?
Not so much books. I just read. I read a lot of columns and read some stuff for you know, a lot of American journalists, sports journalists over there that I read their stuff and websites and things like that. So do a fair bit of reading, you know, online. So something I really enjoy and, you know, trying to improve at whilst footy's obviously at the forefront of, you know, you've always got to be prepared for getting a sniff at any stage.
So you're going to be more along the lines of the Michelangelo Ricci style, are you?
No, I probably don't want to be that news hound as such. I'd love to be able to, write sort of feature pieces and opinion pieces for more thing. I'd love to go over to the States and report on a team over there. That'd be the ultimate goal. So do what I can here and get the advice and the help from the guys at the Addy. They've been really good and teach me along the way. Do the study and see where it takes me.
This is from Myra, this text on 1999 1395. Of the 22 players and Walshy, who wears the budgie smugglers? How many?
I think there's 21 of us that, or 22 including Walsh. I think the only one, Eddie keeps the big shorts on, and he's not a big fan. He keeps the shorts on and The rest of us are in the budgie smugglers.
So everyone was in the briefs, and the big Eddie, well done. He had the size 46s.
I can't exactly. It was pitch black. I can't.
Okay.
I don't want to. If he was wearing the speedos like the rest of us, then I'm sorry, but he does love his big shorts.
He does.
Well, probably a wise move. 5 a.m. Very cold water. Oof. I think the big shorts might have been a good move. Hey, Josh. Thanks for joining us and being as open as you were. We appreciate that, and we look forward to a response next week when you take on the power.
No worries, guys. Look forward to speaking on better terms next time.
Well done, JJ, and taking all those clues. But can I just leave you with this? Fire the you-know-what up. Get angry, and if I've got to come down there and squirrel grip you, I will.
I'll look forward to it.
Well done, JJ.
Yeah, Josh Jenkins, our guest. Hey, look, it is.
It's hard when you've had a bad loss.
It is, and look, he is a polarising player. We get a lot of texts, and look, every club has what we call a whipping boy. When it's not happening, they cop a bit of flack. Probably Josh is one of the whipping boys down at the Adelaide Football Club, but he fronted up and cop what we would... giving him in terms of
his
the
best is elite.
Mm. No doubt about
elite.
That.
Elite.
No doubt about that. But look, in the end, he's got to, he said himself, he's got to improve, he's got to do things better, and he's got to start crashing a few more packs, which I'm sure he will get to.